right. Welcome, everyone, to the latest Motor Millennials podcast episode. I'm Zach Rothberger with Anthony Lucci, as always. And this week, we have the top alcohol dragster, Gator Nationals champion, Jasmine Salinas. Jasmine, thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So have you come down from your from that high yet of winning the Gator Nationals?
Yes and no. I think there's like, I still kind of forget that it happened, and then I'll randomly be like brushing my teeth and I was like, oh wait, I just did that. Like, that was so cool.
So Jasmine, I mean, you've had kind of a great road trip, let's say, just at Gator National or in Gainesville at the Gator Nationals. You got your super comp license there. Your first national event race was there. 2021, you had a pretty bad crash, and then 2022, you come back and win the whole event. So can you kind of like, what is it with you in Gainesville? So just take us through all of that.
I know. Gainesville is like, it's honestly, it's felt like I thought it was going to be just like another random like racetrack for me. And it's become like the most meaningful place for me anywhere on the circuit. I did my super comp licensing through the Frank Holly school there. And at that time, that was really the first time in about 10 years I had jumped back into a race car. Before that, the last time I did it, I was racing junior dragsters. And then after that, I went to college and then did like, was working at several businesses. And so I really kind of stayed away from racing for a while. And so getting back into a race car again, almost 10 years later, was really exciting. And just happened to be at Gainesville. And then I learned a lot there and learned a lot through Frank Holly School about just the mental state more than anything else about being in a race car. And I've taken a lot of that with me through the years. And then coming out in 2019, I got to do my debut with my sister. She was doing pro stock motorcycle for her professional debut. And then I was coming out on top alcohol dragster. And it was the first time that my dad, sister, and I were all coming out racing together. And we were kind of like setting the standard for kind of what our team has become today, which is, you know, a really big racing family. and that was really exciting race. And then as everybody knows, 2021, I did have a provisional number one qualifier. And then during my final round of qualifying, I had a blowover and crashed my car pretty good. Went over from the right lane to the left lane and went over the guardrail. And then from there, it's kind of been a pretty big journey of trying to rebound from that crash. And then 2022 became kind of my Cinderella story moment where I got a win at the same race exactly 1 year later.
Well, you definitely deserve it. And we're so excited to see you win the entire race in Gainesville this year. So I guess kind of, obviously, like you said, a lot to rebound from a crash like that. What are some of the steps that you've taken to kind of like, when you first got back in the race car or even in Gainesville, like, what do you say to yourself to kind of like, you know, be like, all right, I can make it down to the end of the track. Like, you know, like we're going to have a good run. And then ultimately you go on to win the race, but like, what do you kind of say to yourself to talk yourself and calm your nerves a little bit?
Yeah. It was definitely a lot of, self-hyping and calming myself down. It was crazy, at Gainesville this year. So we ended up only having one round of qualifying because everything got rained out. And so we had one shot to get into the race. And it just so happened that it was the same Saturday and I was paired up exact same matchup as my crash in 2021. I was in the right lane running against Karen Stalba again. And so it was just like reliving it. And I was definitely, you know, crying all over again, very, very emotional. I kept kind of reminding myself like at Gainesville this year and as well as all of last year is just, you know, I'm scared and I kind of owned, you know, I'm scared of this and I don't want to do it. But I also reminded myself that once I do it, I know I'm going to feel a lot better and I'm not going to be so afraid of it. And so I think that's kind of been something I've been telling myself and helping me throughout this whole, all of last year and then even this year too, is just kind of like owning what I'm afraid of and then just knowing I can get through it. And then after I've seen that I've accomplished something, everything else just kind of feels a little less scary after.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's too many people who could, I don't think there's really anyone who could overcome that and then not just show up at Gainesville, like you said, with the same pairing, the same day and everything. But not only that, but also win the event. So it's, you're quite the strong person, I would say, Jasmine. So it's extremely impressive and we couldn't be happier, honestly. So we're really glad to see it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So you mentioned you only had one time run. I think you qualified seventh. Is that right? And then I know you had a Monday finish too, right? So what was it like going in? You go through the rounds, obviously, over the weekend, and then it's like, oh, wait, now we have to finish on Monday. Like, what are you thinking throughout that?
Yeah, I was kind of irritated, honestly, because, you know, I was dreading the whole race, honestly. Like when it started raining out, I secretly told my sister, I'm like, thank God, like it's going to get rained out. I'm not going to have to race here. And then of course we went and made our qualifying run on Saturday. And then Sunday we were going through all the rounds, first, second and third. And, you know, I just kept going and going. And I was just kind of in the mindset of just, I'll take it one race at a time, whatever happens, happens. And I just kept telling myself, you know, I'm proud of myself for being here regardless. And so every time I felt like I was having my own little wins. And then by like the end of Sunday, they're trying to decide whether or not they wanted to run the final round. And I was like, let's just do it. Like, I'll do it in the dark. I don't care. Like, I just want to get it over with because I had my momentum going. And then they're like, no, we're going to do it on Monday. And so then I was like, oh, great. Because I feel like Monday, there's always that extra pressure of like, you just spent the whole weekend there and your team had to stay and work an extra night. And now like, you don't want to disappoint anybody. And it was kind of nice, I guess I will say that the stands were pretty empty on Monday. I guess it kind of took a little pressure off, but I know at the same time, there was a lot of people that were watching, all my friends in racing and family too. So they were all kind of streaming in. So it was nice to know that people were kind of keeping track of what was happening.
I'd say you definitely showed up because you were 0-28 on the tree and you had to pedal it. You know, I know both of the car, both you and your opponent, I believe, right? Had a pedal fest and you came out on top. So I'd say it was worth it. I mean, I can't imagine the emotions that I saw the interview. It was a great interview at the end. You know, I can only imagine the emotions that overcame you at the end. So that's great.
Yeah. It was definitely a very emotional weekend all around. Every run, I was crying at the top end. And I think what made it even more special was, I would say almost everybody that was there from Safety Safari and NHRA, when I had my crash on site and they were there helping take care of me, they were there at the top end with me, cheering me on at every single run that I made through. And so it was just really special, I think, for a lot of people. I felt like it wasn't just like me, you know, that was kind of like winning everyone. And so it was really special because something that we had all as a group kind of experienced and gone through. And throughout all of 2021 season, they were all kind of keeping tabs on me and seeing how everything was going and motivating me as well. And so when we kind of got that win, it felt like we're all winning together. So very emotional.
Yeah, that's a very special feeling. So
yeah,
you mentioned about your sister Gianna and obviously father Mike racing. So what's it like racing as a family? You know, you're on the road together, you're winning together, and you're creating a bunch of memories together. How's that been?
Oh, I don't know if I would want to keep racing if one of them wasn't in it, honestly. It's very special. And I know we're all so very fortunate to be able to race as a family. It's something that we grew up watching our dad do. And then when we were kids, we did the junior drag racing. But it wasn't something that we got to kind of do, obviously, as seriously and do so often. It's also really cool, I think, being able to balance being a driver one day, like during the day, and then also at the other time, switching off into being like a cheerleader for your family. And I think my favorite thing about it is I've gotten to meet so many other people and other competitors in other classes. And I feel like normally you're kind of siloed and stuck in your own class and kind of with your own race people. And it's been great getting to meet everybody in Pro Stock Motorcycle and Pro Mod and then even in Top Fuel. So I really love that. And I've gotten to learn more about this whole sport in general. And because there's so many classes, like I still can't even, like, I don't know all the classes, you know, and like NHRA drag racing. But I think that's what's so special about it is there's so many different people and you meet so many other families too that are just like you. And so it's really special. And I love having my sister where we can lean on each other and go to each other and just knowing that there is somebody that gets what you're going through, especially when things are frustrating. And then just having like my dad being able to watch everything that he's doing and learn from and hopefully aspire to race with him someday.
Yeah, I think there's a saying, right? It's like families that race together stay together. I mean, it couldn't be more true. I mean, my family, we all raced together growing up, and you know, Anthony, yours as well. And it's definitely a very special bond and connection that not many people can really relate to. So it's very cool. So you mentioned you started off in junior drag racing, worked your way up through super comp, super comp license. So what advice would you give to a younger racer who's looking to maybe run top alcohol dragster or another sportsman or professional class one day?
I'd say for anybody that's looking to move up into any sort of classes, just get to know everybody in those classes that you want to race in. That is something that I wish I had done a better job of when I was starting to get into it. But it's now that I am in the class, and even like I'm hoping one day to get in top field, so I'm trying to learn everything I can about it. But just learn as much as you can, meet all the people. And then don't be afraid to ask questions. I know there's a lot of young people I have that are sending me messages and they're always afraid. And I feel like there's kind of this pressure of you're supposed to know everything about everything in racing. But I mean, honestly, nobody does. And I think if you try to go into it with the mindset that you're always going to be learning and there's always going to be somebody that can teach you something, that's a great mindset to have and just to stay open-minded. And then also to just be your biggest cheerleader. You know, it's if I know I struggled with it a lot, and my sister did too, is just kind of self-doubt, especially because we were so new and didn't have a lot of experience compared to a lot of other people that we race against. And it's very natural to have the self-doubt, but I think there's a difference between letting it win and take over you versus just acknowledging it and then fighting through it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you kind of answered our next question about if you want to race in top fuel one day. So we're super excited to hear that you do. I guess, Jasmine, we talked a lot on Motor and Millennials about, and Zach grew up racing juniors too. So have you taken like a lot that you've learned from juniors and, you know, kind of applied that to where you are now? And I mean, eventually, I think, you know, it's kind of like you said, it takes steps to get to where you want to be, but you know, eventually like you're definitely paving the way to make it to top fuel in the future.
Yeah. I think the biggest, and you know, unfortunately I didn't get to race juniors as much as I had wished I had to. I got into it pretty late. And I know our closest racetracks were, I think, almost three or four hours away from us. And so we weren't able to do it as consistently as other kids. But I still to this day always carry this one thing with me from juniors, which is just, you know, just being able to trust yourself. I think as a kid, it was so empowering to be able to have been put into a race car and then there's like, okay, just send you on your way, just go down. And for whatever those seconds were, you know, 5, 7, 8 seconds, like that was your time where there was no adults that could like step in and help you. And you had all of this, like just this free space and freedom to make your own decisions. And, you know, it's a dangerous, but also very controlled and safe environment. And that's very unique for kids to have. And I think even though I was like, maybe like 14 or 15, getting to experience that was so valuable for me, and being able to learn to trust my own instincts and have the confidence in myself. That's something I still bring with me, even to when I was getting into super comp and then top alcohol. You know, it's very intimidating, but I kept taking that same mindset of trusting yourself and knowing what you're capable of.
And obviously your dad has been racing for many years. So how has that been, kind of being able to look at him and have him as a guide? Obviously I think all three of us here on the podcast, our fathers have played a big role in our lives and getting into racing and motorsports. So can you talk a little bit about your relationship with your dad?
Yeah. It's been so fun. I remember so my dad's father used to race dirt track, but I think like my dad grew up going to the racetrack, the drag strips as a kid, just watching and, you know, picking up trash and metal. And that was kind of his first exposure. And we kind of grew up around racing. But then I remember we he came home one day when we were kids and he had this like old like front engine nostalgia dragster. And we're like, what is this? And he's like, oh, I'm going to start drag racing. We're like, cool. What is that? So then him and his friends were working on it in the barn. And it was just like this, it was just supposed to be like his like midlife crisis hobby. Honestly, that's like honestly how all of this started. He was just like, I think he turned like 40 and he's like, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go racing. And so we ended up going and like we'd spend every weekend at Sacramento Raceway in Bakersfield. And we would just watch all of these old guys just going in these like crazy loud cars. And then we'd be in the back of the pickup truck trying to do our homework as they'd be like driving down to the top end to go pick them up and our papers are flying everywhere. And we're just like, this is normal. This is like totally cool. And you'd meet like the other little junior dragster kids. And then eventually we started getting into juniors, but it's really cool because I know I have met a lot of people where, you know, race, but like the fathers are really afraid of letting their daughters race, but they let their sons race. And so I will say I'm very grateful that my dad, you know, he's always said ever since we were kids, he's like, you know, whatever the boys are doing, you girls can go and do. Like he's never tried to limit us, I think. And I think having that, you know, has been really awesome having our own father do that. And so because of that, you know, it's kind of created this whole thing for it could be a sport for our entire family. And I'm the oldest of four girls. And so myself and then middle one, Gianna, she's decided to race. And then the other two, it wasn't their thing. And, you know, he was the same way. He was just as equally as, you know, if you guys don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. And I also know there's a lot of people that were kind of pressured into it. But I think just being able to have my dad kind of be the one that got me into the sport, but then also now like teaching me everything that he's learning too, it's been really cool. And I think that father daughter relationship, or even just like the parent child relationship of, you know, being able to watch your parent learn at the same time that you're learning, it's very equalizing, especially now that we're both adults. I'm an adult with him. I feel like there's very few like moments and experiences where, and I feel like for the longest time, like your parents are always going to kind of be the ones that know everything. And then now that he, you know, he still admits that he's learning. So whenever he does something or he figures out something new in the car, he'll come run to me into my trailer. He's like, Jasmine, I just figured this thing out. Or I just tried this thing. You should try it out. And it's really cool because, you know, I think our relationship has definitely grown from father daughter to now where I feel like we can both offer each other things that we've learned in our race cars. And even just outside of racing, it's really cool. And it's definitely brought us closer.
It's hard to put that into words. And I think you did a perfect job. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's very special. So while we look to wrap up the podcast, Jasmine, we're going to do some rapid fire, some kind of fun questions to kind of close us out. So I mean, I got to ask, so your dog, Stevie, I've seen on Instagram, I've seen the pictures, like the most adorable dog, one of the most adorable dogs I've ever seen. So he has an Instagram. Is this right? Is that right?
Yes. Stevie Track Palm is his Instagram. And now that's his like stage name that everybody at the track knows him as.
I've seen the pictures. He's quite, he has quite the impression. So it's, I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So what is your favorite movie, Jasmine?
Shrek 2.
So it's a good one.
Jasmine, who's your top role model that you looked up to growing up?
It's two people, but it's my mom and dad. I've always admired them. You know, my dad's story is very well known, but my mom's has, you know, very similar upbringing, background, and her own stories and struggles. And so this, the two of them together, seeing, you know, their daily sacrifices and how much they've really dedicated their lives to their family has been so inspiring. And, you know, as kids, we recognize that right away. And so I've always looked up to them.
And one last rapid fire question. Looks like you're in California, as you told us, which is much nicer than it is here on the East Coast right now. But do you prefer being in California or Indy?
It's hard. I feel like I have so much pressure from all of the Midwest people. California is always going to be home to me. My family's here. I'm sorry, but I think We have all my favorite restaurants are over here. But I will say I did recently tell my mom I am planning to stay in Indiana for some time. I don't have any plans on coming back to California anytime soon. It's very different. And I think it's different, but I think the biggest thing that I've loved the most is the people. I feel like I'm like back in like the 50s, honestly, where everyone's like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And they hold the doors open and it's so shocking, but it's absolutely refreshing in like the best way possible. And I'm really loving it over there. So it's, I can't pick.
you got to visit both, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jasmine, we can't thank you enough for this amazing interview with us on Motor Millennials. Where can everyone find you on social media?
I have Facebook, but I am more of an Instagram user. So you can find me at Jazz Salinas, JASSALINASS. And I think my tags are the same for everything else, for TikTok even.
Awesome. We'll make sure to throw those in our show notes and on our Instagram posts and on the video here, which will be on YouTube too. But yeah, for anyone listening in to us, you can find us online on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Motor Millennials. And Jasmine, we're wishing you the best this season. We can't wait to see what you're going to accomplish in 2022. And looking forward to having you back on the podcast in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. This was great. And I just got finished listening earlier today to one of your interviews with Ida. And so I was like really excited. I was like, oh my God. So thank you guys. Everyone go listen to Motoring Millennials.
Great. Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you. Keep on moving. Thank you.